Contour Ridge looks ancient in the rain. Winter snow can paint her young again. I'm a lucky man, call this home.
Welcome to another podcast of History Speaks from the Montour County Historical Society. I am your host and board member, Terry Diener. Our speaker series has been well attended over the last several months and is winding down. On September the 19th, folklorist and storyteller Fiona Powell will be presenting a program on Welsh composer and hymn writer Joseph Parry, who called Danville his home for a number of years. The program begins at 7 o'clock. The doors at the Boyd House Museum open at 6:30. There is a $5 admission fee. Our open houses continue each Sunday at the Montgomery and Boyd Houses from 2 until 4 p.m. through the end of October. Young people through 12th grade and society board members are admitted free. There is a $5 admission fee for all others. Montour County is named for Madame Montour, an important figure in the colonial world between the Indians and the white man. She first appeared on the public scene at the Conference of Albany in New York on September the 15th, 1711. Details on her early life are a bit muddied. She claimed to be the daughter of a Frenchman, taken captive by the Iroquois as a young girl, and raised by the Oneidas. Information on the Pennsylvania Historical Society website indicates she may have been Catherine Couc, C-O-U-C, and you French linguists, please excuse that pronunciation, who, according to baptismal records, was born in 1684, the child of French fur trader Louis Couc and an Indian wife. Historian Frederick Godcharles, in his Daily Stories of Pennsylvania, says Madame Montour first married a Seneca Indian named Roland Montour, by whom she had five children, Andrew, Henry, Robert, Louis, and Margaret. After his death, she married the noted Oneida chief known as Big Tree, or Karen Dewanen, who later took the name Robert Hunter. He was killed in a battle against the Catawba Indians around 1729. Madame Montour and her son Andrew were interpreters conversant in French, English, and several Indian languages. In their parentage, upbringing, marriages, and careers, they played the role of go-betweens, passing among different communities of colonial and native peoples on the Pennsylvania and New York frontier, assisting in their diplomacy and trade and trying to maintain peace between them. After the death of her second husband, she moved with her children to Ostonwacken, an Indian village also known as Frenchtown, on the west branch of the Susquehanna River. She made her first appearance in Pennsylvania's Indian records as an interpreter at a Philadelphia Treaty Conference in 1727, and remained active in such affairs until 1744. One of Madame Montour's contemporaries referred to her as enjoying the high esteem of the best sort of white people, who always entertained her with abundance of civility when she visited their homes in Philadelphia. She and her son Andrew reportedly welcomed Moravian missionary Count Zinzendorf when he visited what is now Sunbury in 1742. It's believed Madame Montour died in the early 1750s. Godcharles wrote that Madame Montour was always friendly to the proprietary government, and such was the loyalty that two of her sons, Henry and Andrew, received large grants of land from the government. Henry's was located upon the Chillisquaque Creek in Northumberland County. Andrew's land was located on the Loyal Sock, where Montoursville is now located. Andrew Montour was the most famous of Madame Montour's children, and he stepped into her shoes as a frontier diplomat during the late 1740s. Growing up in his parents' household gave him command of several European and Native American languages. He interpreted at diplomatic negotiations held in Shamokin, Logstown, Carlisle, Easton, and Philadelphia, easing communication between Delaware, Shawnee, Iroquois, and a number of colonial governments. His two marriages, the first to the daughter of a prominent Delaware chief and the second to an Oneida woman, extended his kinship ties and political influence among Indians living in or near Pennsylvania. Andrew Montour also suffered from personal demons. He drank heavily and, when intoxicated, often became belligerent about the colonial officials who employed him. According to Conrad Weiser, Andrew became drunk at a treaty conference in 1754 and cursed Pennsylvania's governor and other officials, including Weiser, accusing them of cheating him and other Indians out of their lands. During the French and Indian War, Andrew Montour rose to the rank of major while in service to the English. He also served as an interpreter for the Delaware Indians at Fort Augusta in Sunbury at the time that Conrad Weiser held a conference for the purpose of bringing about peace between the Southern Confederation and the Six Nations. During his lifetime, control over western Pennsylvania shifted decisively from Indian to British hands, a change that squeezed go-betweens such as himself out of Pennsylvania's politics and history. Andrew's fortunes deteriorated after the French and Indian War. His reputation in shambles, he was unable to anchor himself in either an Indian or colonial world. He fell into debt and was murdered by a Seneca Indian near Fort Pitt in 1772. The story of Madame Montour and her family, who left their mark on Pennsylvania history and Montour County. That wraps up this week's podcast of History Speaks. Thanks for listening. Mark September the 19th on your calendar, and join us at the Boyd House Museum in Danville when folklorist and storyteller Fiona Powell looks at the life of Welsh hymn writer Joseph Parry, who called Danville home for a number of years. The program begins at 7 p.m. There is a $5 admission.
I'm a lucky man. Call this home. Call this home. I'm a lucky man.